Let's see everyone here tonight. And we're going to look tonight at Luke chapter 10. It's kind of an interesting situation that happened during Jesus' personal ministry. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. Now, Jesus was on one of his tours as he was preaching and teaching and doing the things that he did during his personal ministry. And in chapter 10, verse 38, it says, "Now they went on their way. He entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet, who heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. And she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister did leave me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' But the Lord said and answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" We're going to come back to Mary and Martha in this course of this lesson and the differences of these two sisters. And of course, we know from the book of John, they were sisters of Lazarus, and he is the one that died, and Jesus went to their house also. So these are people that Jesus knew fairly well. So when he came through, it seems that he would stay at their house when he was on his way somewhere. So he got to know them fairly well. And so this time, that's Jesus and his disciples with him. They went on their way. They entered to a certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. So he was going, and the idea here is that they were going there to rest and be fed, and then I guess go on the next day. And so it's important that people are busy about things, as we will see, but sometimes there is a priority of the things we do for ourselves and for others that is important. It's not enough to invite Jesus into our house. We have to invite him into our heart. In other words, make a priority of the Lord's things and the spiritual things as opposed to the physical. Now, the example of Martha and Mary should, cause us sometimes maybe to test our own priorities and the things we do in life. And so, look back at chapter 10 of Luke in verse 38. It says, "Now, as they went on their way, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." Now, look at Martha. There's two sisters, of course. And so Martha's first one says she received him into her house. So seemingly she was the one who was in charge of that particular house. And so she was the woman given to hospitality. So there's a lot of good things we could say about Martha, and we'll mention some more later. It was an admirable trait. She was concerned about them and wanted them to give them a place to stay and something to eat as they journeyed on their way. And it's an idea that, of course, God approves of. And the word hospitality comes from a word meaning a care and love for strangers. Well, that's the way she was. She was a one who was given to hospitality, and that God approves of that. And we look around us, and sometimes we live in a time, it seems, that individual hospitality is not one of the priorities on so many people's ideas of life, as it may have been a number of years ago. And so Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, it says, "Forget not to show love unto strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." So, we don't know. We might be helping someone who comes here to ask for help along his way or to our house or whatever it may be. And yes, we have to be careful about who we deal with sometimes, and we have to be careful about that. But on the other hand, we also have to show the spirit of our Lord in being hospitable to people who are in need. And 3 John verses 1 through 4, in that short book in the New Testament, there is a man by the name of Gaius. And Gaius, John wrote to him, and he was commending him. One of the things that he did was he showed hospitality to the Christians who came through the town where he lived. and he showed hospitality, and he fed them and kept them at his house and sent them on their way with the necessities that they had. So it was a thing that was certainly approved of by God, to show hospitality and concern and love for strangers. And sometimes we don't know what kind of influence we're going to have on someone, even if they're just going through for a moment. If we help them, what kind of influence we might have later on. And so we have to think about that. And so Martha was very good at that, and that was part of her way of doing things. She also was one that was industrious. In chapter 10 and verse 40, it says Martha was cumbered about much serving. And so she was one that was industrious, and that's another good trait of people. So it wasn't that she did wrong, she was doing wrong in what she did. It was here a problem or a situation of priority. So it's another trait that was admired and should be imitated. That she was industrious, she was willing to work, she was willing to help others, and in this case, Jesus and his disciples. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul says, "If any will not work, neither let him eat." So there is a responsibility all of us have to do whatever work or whatever responsibility is given to us, or whatever we take upon ourselves to do the best that we can, and to provide for ourselves, for our families, and for others if we can do that. In fact, in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, Paul said, "If any provides not for his own, especially his own household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." So when someone who would not provide for his own and was not industrious enough to do that, then he says, then he's denied the faith. It didn't mean that he couldn't work. That means he could and he didn't. And so it's as if you denied the faith. Well, of course, there's the old saying that comes up sometime, "An idle mind is the devil's workshop." You know, that's probably still true as whoever thought of that first. I don't even know who it was, but it's still true. And so we look at Martha. She was hospitable to strangers and helpful to them. She was industrious. Those were good things. But also the Bible says in verse 40 that she was cumbered. In verse 40 it says Martha was cumbered about much serving. Now, in this particular Bible, in that word says... it could also be translated distracted. In other words, her priority was not that Jesus was there, the Messiah, the Christ. And maybe at this time she didn't fully understand that's who he was, but she certainly understood that he was at very least a prophet of God, if not more than that. And so she was cumbered. That means that she was careful, she was troubled, she was distracted by these things. And the word there, again, means being overly occupied, enough to be drawn away from something that's more important for that particular time. Now, again, there was nothing wrong with what she was doing. It's just there was a matter of priority that something else was more important for that moment. Her priorities were in the wrong place, and she was concerned with the physical part, which was a good thing that she was. We're not saying that she wasn't concerned about those things or it wasn't important. It was, but not enough that she understood the relationship of the spiritual over the physical. Now, it's interesting because if you go over to John chapter 11, when Lazarus, Mary and Martha's brother, died, and Jesus was on his way to their house to console them at the loss of Lazarus. Well, the first one to come out to meet Jesus was Martha. And it's interesting what she said on that occasion. She said, "Lord, if you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died." Now, it's not exactly an accusation, but it certainly is an idea that could lend itself to that. In other words, "Lord, in a way, it's your fault that you didn't come on time to heal our brother, and he would still be alive." And so she kind of made that accusation against Jesus. And so she was one that was active in the things that she did. from these two examples we find. She was hospitable, industrious. She was careful about and as it says, cumbered about the things of life, and which is all good things in some ways, but there's always a priority. And even when she came out to meet Jesus as he was coming to their house to console them about Lazarus, and she said, "If you'd been here, our brother wouldn't have died." Well, Jesus explained to her there. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." In other words, you don't need to worry about this situation because I have the power over life and death. That's what he was saying to her. And she didn't realize it at the moment. But, of course, she did when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. But also we look at the other of the two sisters, Mary. She received Jesus into her life and into her heart. The Bible says here in chapter 10 of Luke, it says, "And also she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and heard his word." Now, if you're familiar with the things of the time and the customs of the time, for someone, a great teacher was there or something, the teacher would usually stand up or sit in a chair, and the students would sit on cushions or blanket or on the floor itself in front. And that would talked about sitting at the teacher's feet. Well, that's what they did for Jesus, and that's what she was doing. It was a symbol of humility, a symbol of respect for the one that was the teacher, and a willingness to learn. And so Mary showed that quality of her life, and the characteristic, of course, which is important all time, humility and respect and those things. So there is much in these two sisters that were very good and things that were very important in their example that they set. Well, Mary, the Bible says in verse 39, it says she heard his word. Mary also, who sat at the Lord's feet, heard his word. The word "heard" here doesn't simply mean that she heard the sound of the word and it went into her mind. It means she was listening in with listening intently to the message that Jesus had to bring. She was, in a sense, as we say, hanging on every word that he spoke. And so she was trying to get across that, and by her actions, that this is truly important to her. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, Jesus said, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Here's an example of one that was that way. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 37, it says there, "The common people heard him gladly." In other words, they were intent upon what Jesus had to say. And, of course, in Acts 2 and verse 41, on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 that obeyed the gospel. It says they gladly received his word and were baptized, and were added to them about 3,000 souls. So they gladly received. They listened intently to the message that Peter and the other apostles brought. And then there was 3,000 that obeyed approximately on that day. But it says of Mary, she was listening. She was intent upon hearing what Jesus said, regardless of what other responsibilities of the household she might have had. So it became a matter of priorities. Well, notice what it says then, verse 40. "But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister did leave me to serve alone? Bid her therefore to come and help me.'" So Mary had left to serve the things that Jesus was doing. And so now we find then that Mary was sitting there listening to Jesus, and Martha was trying to get the food ready and everything in the house prepared for them to be there. And so she said, "Well, Lord, tell her to come help me." And, you know, that makes sense. She was working very hard, and she was trying to get things done for the hospitality of these that come to her house. But instead, Jesus rebuked Martha. Now, I'm sure she was surprised at that, and I'm sure in her case that She couldn't believe that Jesus was not telling her sister to come and follow her. But she failed to realize the relative importance of the spiritual application of what Jesus had to say with the physical realm. And again, Jesus was not saying don't pay attention to the physical realm around you. But he says there's a priority that needs to be done. And she failed to realize the opportunity that was right there before her. Her time was crowded with duties and obligations and work. Sometimes we all get so engrossed in the things we do and the work we have, and that's important, and we need to be sometimes. But also, we cannot allow that to take us away from our service to the Lord as much as possible. A name that probably all of you will recognize, a man by the name of J.C. Penney said one time. Now, J.C. Penney was the one that started the chain of department stores and everything. And in fact, he lived and worked as the CEO of the corporation until he was 95 years old. Well, someone asked him one time, why do you allow all of your stores across the country to close on Sunday? And this is his answer. He says, anyone who is too busy to hear God and His Word is too busy. Well, that made sense. And that's the way he lived his life. And that's the kind of thing we're talking about here. It wasn't that Martha didn't care about spiritual things. Her priority was a little bit wrong. Well, Jesus answered Martha in verse 41. It says, but the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Now, it wasn't that it wasn't important what she was doing. Jesus is just simply saying, yes, you're concerned about these, and that's okay, but there's something more important going on right here. Verse 42 says, but one thing is needful. In other words, here's the priority. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. In other words, you know, if we sit down and eat at what you fixed, and that's good, and we'll enjoy it, and that's good for you, and you have the right attitude. But he says, you know, a while later we're going to be hungry again. But Jesus says the things that Mary is concerned about are things that are not going to be taken away. It's eternal. It's going to last. In other words, she had to take the opportunity that was set there before her. And that's what God wants us to do. James chapter 4, verse 17 says, to him that knows to do good and does not do it, it is sin. So sin is not just doing what's wrong, it's not doing what's right. And so Mary had the right priority. Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, that's what she was doing. And that was the most important thing. Well, Mary had a type of common sense to follow Jesus and listen to him first and then take care of the other things of life. And it was her choice, and she chose to follow Jesus and hear him above everything else. Well, Jesus, of course, needs to be the Lord of our life. And as important as physical matters may be, the spiritual should take a priority. And then sometimes we have to make a decision in doing that. But the main idea here was the importance of the words that Jesus was speaking. The importance of God's word in general, and then you think about it from our perspective. And we look back at that and think, well, here was an opportunity that the Lord himself had come to their house. And Martha was more concerned about preparing the food and doing the other things than hearing the message of Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. In John 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, the words that I spoke, the same shall judge him in the last day. In other words, by the words of Jesus, we're going to be judged on the day of judgment. In 1 Peter 1 verse 23, it says, having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So the words of Jesus would live and abide forever. That's why Jesus said to Martha, Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away. That's not going to be taken away from her. And sometimes we Again, maybe we fall into the category of being like Martha. Yes, there's important things in life, and we have to take care of the necessities of life in our own lives and for our families and such, but we have to remember there is a priority that the Lord wants us to have. And we look at this again. He says in verse 41, "But Lord answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha." Now, he wasn't scolding her in the sense of putting her down. He's simply appealing to the fact that here is something you need to understand. You're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, for Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her. And, of course, we in our lives today have the same kind of thing. We have to make a decision sometimes, whether it's in our family or whether it's our work or whatever it might be, that we have to do the best that we can. And the Lord tells us to do so, that we are to do the best that we can in our work and our service and our dealing with other people and our family. So we are to set the right example, whether we're mother, father, husband, wife, grandparents, whatever it may be. The Lord has given us a privilege and a responsibility, and so we need to deal with that as best we can, but never leave out the spiritual part and the spiritual aspect of it. And for example, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, Paul said there, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church." So there is a priority that God sets in marriage for the husband to love his wife above everyone else. Another example, Ephesians 6 and verse 4. He says, "You fathers," or he could actually write their parents if you would, "but provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So there is a priority, spiritual priority, in our lives every day. We go back to this, and they were coming to the village, verse 38, and Mary and Martha were there, but Martha was concerned about the physical. Mary was concerned much more about the spiritual. And so we need to understand what Jesus said. There's one thing that's needful. The priority is the spiritual side for you and me. Taking care of our soul and the souls of those who are around us that we can influence, whether it's our children or a husband or wife or whatever it may be, friends and at work or whatever it may be in our life, that's to be our priority. Certainly we take care of the other things also, but we're to be a Christian first and put Christ first, and that's the requirement. That's what God expects of you and me. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, Jesus asked the question, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Well, the answer to that, of course, is nothing. In fact, it's even worse than nothing, because if we don't put Christ as the priority in our life, if we forfeit the soul, the spiritual part of us that God has given to us, we're going to be separated from Him for all of eternity. So He says, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world?" He becomes wealthy and powerful and famous and everything else that people seem to think is most important in life, and he loses his own soul, then he's gained nothing. In fact, he has lost everything. But again, the idea of one thing is needful, that everyone needs to hear the words of the Lord. And in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." If we turn away from the words of the Lord, we turn away from the way to eternal life. We turn away from the truth, the only truth that's going to cause us to be able to understand what to do to be forgiven and have the promise of eternal life. So we lose the way, the truth, and the life itself. We're going to lose our physical life someday, unless the Lord comes before we die. But we're going to die, and someday that's going to happen. And we have a choice. We can lose our physical life and still have eternal life with the Lord. Or we can choose the other way. And when we lose our physical life, we're going to lose our spiritual life forever also. But the choice is up to you and me. Let me go back to Mary and Martha. Mary chose the most important thing for that moment in time. Again, there's nothing wrong with what Martha was doing, but the priority was not set properly. And of course, Jesus said that Mary has chosen the good part, which is not going to be taken away. Now, in Isaiah chapter 1, the prophet Isaiah, if you turn over there for a moment, Isaiah lived in a time he was appealing to the people of Israel because they were under the real threat of being conquered by first the Assyrians and later the Babylonians. And they were going off and worshiping idols and all of these things. And in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 12, he says, "When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to trample my courts? Or do you come before me, but you're not doing anything that I will accept?" Verse 13, "Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moon and the Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot, away with it, and the iniquity in the solemn meeting." It wasn't that God didn't want them to come and take part in the feasts and the sacrifices and those things. He says, but your heart is not in it. You're just going through the motions. And he says in verse 14, "Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates, and they are trouble unto me. I am weary of hearing them." Well, God commanded them to do this, but their attitude was such. Again, they were just going through the motions of serving God. Verse 15, "When you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, and when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." Now, here is then what God says to them. Here is how to remedy the situation. Verse 16 of Isaiah 1, "Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away evil from your doings before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek justice. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless and plead for the widow." Well, that's the same thing that Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount and all through his personal ministry. And then the appeal is made by Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 18. "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So if you'll do this, if you turn away from evil and replace that with doing right, it says your sins will be washed out. You're going to be cleansed, and it's going to be white as wool. And then verse 19 says, "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." But what's the other side? Verse 20, "But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." And we have basically the same choice to make today. To believe God, obey Him, and follow Him, make Him the priority in life, or turn our own way and suffer the consequence. Now this evening, if there is a need in your life, if you need to come, for whatever it may be, why don't you do so as we stand, as we sing.